It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. And so forth. 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Dan DeRose from, formerly of Coin.
Now of every golf course in town.
Now of nowhere in particular. Today here. Tomorrow maybe your house. We'll be back later on in the show. I got some great email about him. I'm just going to read this one. Rick, this is from, I guess I shouldn't say who this is from. Rick, this email says from a person who will not be named. Rick, we at KGW also have a mole. Thought you'd like to know. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment that you've all been waiting for, I guess.
Time.
Thank you.
The Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Scotty J. And this is Scotty J. in for Tim Riley.
Best news ever.
That's right. This is going to come from the cart.
How are you doing today, Scotty?
Doing good.
Nervous?
Not at all. I got it all organized now. I was nervous in the beginning because I had too huge of a pile of news.
But the beer helps.
Now that the beer and the whittling has made it a piece of cake now.
These piles are the biggest I've ever seen.
I must get organized.
Did you help reduce Scotty's piles?
I did not. I think Dan might have helped him.
Dan knows a lot about piles and how to make them smaller. Zing!
Scotty, you're supposed to be the straight man today. You can't be giggly.
You can't. You got to keep it together.
Yeah.
Tim, what
about you?
All right. Grab your first couple of stories. These people have been very patient. I'm going to get these two calls quickly, and then we'll head into the news with you. Patrick, hello, sir.
Hey.
Patrick.
I was just calling to tell you that you can get the Studio 60 pilot on Netflix.
Oh, really? The pilot for the Sorkin show is already on Netflix?
Yeah, they did some special arrangement.
I would strongly suggest everybody do that. Again, it's not perfect because it's a pilot, but it's so... Look, the worst Sorkin program is so much better than anything else on television.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, sir. God bless you, Patrick.
Sure.
All right, there you go. That's Patrick. And quickly, Jennifer, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. Actually, I'm calling from ServiceMark Media, where we carry Viso products. Understand that people were calling in looking to find out where to buy it.
What is ServiceMark? You'll forgive me.
ServiceMark Media. We actually do indoor billboard advertising, and we have refrigeration units in the higher end tanning salons.
Ah, I see. So you place refrigerators.
Yes, we do.
Ah, okay.
We actually distribute Viso products, and we've got the lemonade, the Will, and the Vigor.
God bless you. Well, you know, because people can never they can never figure out where to get the Will at. So it's finer tanning salons around town.
Yep, we're at 14 different locations. They can certainly give me a call at 503-736-6424 to find out where those locations are.
Can they now? All right, thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right, there you go.
Was that one of your libraries?
Seriously, it ought to wave at the hole. Thank you. Okay. God bless you. All right, Scotty J, take it away.
All right, rumored couple singer Jessica Simpson and musician John Mayer have apparently called it quits. Us Weekly senior writer says Mayer broke off the relationship when he realized things might not be what they seem.
Thank you. Things might not be what they seem.
Album came out right at the time where this relationship was exposed, and there was all of this hype about a relationship that really wasn't all that serious, according to John Mayer.
Are they letting 10-year-olds write for magazines now? It really is like news as by Punky Brewster.
Well, during a visit to ABC's The View earlier this week, Simpson denied that she was dating Mayer. Meanwhile, he posted the cover of the 1988 Public Enemy single, Don't Believe the Hype, on his official website. Simpson was previously married to singer Nick Leitch. The divorce was final in June.
Do you listen to our show?
Really?
Sometimes.
Lachey.
Oh, I know that.
I know he's only been in the news for about 5 years now. Okay. You got a kind of thing where you're... Do we have other Jessica Simpson sound? You loaded two Jessica cuts here.
Yes, there's one more after that. Go ahead.
Okay. Am I supposed to play it?
Sure, I'll give you a finger there.
All right, thank you. All your vowels kind of run together when you talk sometimes.
It really seems like Jessica's publicists and people around her were trying to make a bigger deal out of this. It landed her on magazine covers. It got people talking about her music, so it worked. But at the same time, she may have ruined her friendship with him.
Oh, okay. Didn't he deny that they were ever going out? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, he said that that she was just using him. It's all just kind of sad.
I hate her.
Yeah, and since
you can't hate her while she's down. I mean, look at her. She's pathetic.
Oh, no, that's the best time to hate somebody because they can't do anything about it then.
See, you lack sympathy, just like how I kind of felt bad for Delano when everyone was kicking her.
See, I think... Wait, let me check. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, that's... I really do lack sympathy, not just for... Not for people in general. I mean, that is sometimes true. But, I mean, for specific people, like, you know what it is? Just because Jessica Simpson's career is on the downward slide doesn't mean I suddenly like her. That's the thing.
That's true. She still has a lot of money.
And she's still... She's still
horrible.
Yeah, and she still looks like her head is made out of plywood. It's all just sharp angles and jutting and flat and so forth. And, you know, and she still has a better life than I do, so F her.
Well, the problem is Simpson's camp played up her relationship with John Mayer too much. And now Simpson is trying to pretend like the relationship with Mayer never happened.
I don't even know. Is that even helping her album sales? Is anybody buying her record? I don't even know what her single is. I used to keep up on these kinds of things. I got nothing. Here's all I need to know about Jessica Simpson is that the last thing I heard from her was her butchering and disemboweling of one of my favorite Robbie Williams songs, which is a song called Angels. Which somebody decided it was a good... I think it was like before the Dukes of Hazzard even came out, I think. But it was like, the video was her all bleachy and bony, driving across country in a car, ruining a song that I love. And so from that point on, I decided I just didn't need to care about her anymore.
All right, well, a 79-year-old allegedly tried to rob a bank, a 79-year-old woman out of Chicago, possibly the oldest female charged with attempted bank robbery in Chicago's history, was released... to her daughter in her daughter's custody on a $4,500 bond the other day. Melvina Cook, who the FBI said Melvina Cook. That's right. Who the FBI said wore a white visor that read Princess and black sunglasses when she tried to hold up a Loop Bank with a toy gun. Put on that.
I'm sorry.
It's actually kind of funny. Here, she put on face powder and lipstick before, you know, the judge and tried to explain her story.
So awful.
I'm not doing anything. I'm letting
You're making him nervous. You're sitting there looking at me, waiting for me to make fun of him.
Here's the thing. I'm just saying maybe the story could be honed a little bit.
It could be. The funny part is, okay. Right, I'll get right to it.
Hold on a second.
There is some funny parts of the
story. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Dan. Dan DeRose, do you have a second?
You're doing
it. No, no, no. We're not going to replace you. Here's what we're going to do. This is on air. See, Scotty, because you are technically in the last month of your internship.
Hurt.
He's not hurt. Scotty, you appreciate learning
now
knowledge.
Now he's pretending not to be.
Dan, let me ask you this.
I didn't have a chance to get to the story, so that's the problem.
No, we were like an hour into the story. Saying, Dan, you look at this story here. You see, that story, what if I was to ask you, what are like the key four sentences to read there?
The 79-year-old part, the white visor that read Princess with black...
Which we had. I'm saying it's about trimming away the fat a little bit.
Yeah.
That's about getting
that's
to
pretty
the,
much it. Just the two sentences is what you could have cut that down to.
See, everything
79-year-old
can,
Chicago
can be reduced.
Wearing a visor and black... There you go.
There you go.
Okay,
Thank you, Dan.
DeRose. Totally. Thank you, Dan. I did want to say that it was kind of funny what she did, because she came into the bank with a plastic Payless shoe towards...
No, that's funny.
I was trying to get to that.
That's funny. You gotta
punch it.
You get right to the really horrific, embarrassing parts.
And she pulled out what appeared to be a gun. It was a toy gun. Give me 30 grand and no die. She said.
No dye?
Yeah.
Is she... I don't understand.
But, you know, they put the dye that explodes in the bank.
I thought she meant like you... Like I'm,
yeah. So I thought that was hilarious.
For a minute, I thought you meant like, you give cash, you no dye.
Right.
You give gun, I no kill. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
There you go.
We're going to move back to audio 5. Audio 5. In this one.
No, believe it or not, Scotty, this is actually not going as badly as it has with many, many news people I've had in the past who were not Tim. So.
Well, it's kind of the first
Can I just tell you the story? Can I tell you one brief story, Scotty? And this will make you feel a lot better.
You and your stories today.
I love them.
I'm full
They're
of
great.
See, that's what'll keep you around. Scotty appreciates my stories. A man with some taste. I had, before they partnered me with Tim Riley, I had a woman who I will not identify. She was not a radio employee. She was
a person. I really wanted them. Nobody would know who she is.
Okay.
But I don't want to say where I found her. But it was one of those kind of radio things where it's like you find a person kind of not off the street, but not a radio person. You know, like it's a guy who works at like a Thriftway and you bring him in to do the news because you think he's funny. So before I was partnered with Tim Riley, I did this 2-day stint. And this is like in 99, where it was a woman that I knew from a store. She worked someplace that I went sometimes. And she always struck me as kind of funny. And they didn't have a news person. I'm like, you know, there's this girl, and she works the register at da-da-da-da, a store I went to. And I'm like, I think she's kind of funny. She might work out. And they're like, well, okay. And, you know, that's kind of a radio thing that you do sometimes. Like, Fat Boy was that way. He's like a contest winner. And Daria was a contest winner. You find good people that way sometimes. And so we bring this girl in who works a register at the store. We bring her in to do the news. And I swear to God, the entire time, it's like she was just sort of like her eyes were sort of wandering in different directions. And she was, at one point, this is not a lie, at one point I caught her daubing away a little drool that was collecting in the corners of like her mouth. And no, and I could, and I'm like, she's normally so funny. Like, what is wrong with her? And so my wife at one point went out with it, because my wife went to the same store that I did. We both kind of knew this girl from working the register. She seemed very funny, very nice. My wife, later on, went out with her for drinks one night. The girl vanishes into a bathroom, comes back later and says, oh, we got to stop by my boyfriend's house. And Lara's like, okay, well, whatever. They leave the bar where they're drinking. They stop by the boyfriend's house. The woman has to buy some heroin. because she's a smack user.
Oh, no.
And Lara comes, she's like, she's doing heroin. I have to come home. So no lie, I did the news for 2 days with a woman who I did not know at the time was sitting across from me completely and totally stoned on heroin. So, Scotty?
Telltale drool signs.
That's what I'm saying. So this is so much better than that.
Well, good.
Let's do one more.
I'm glad I'm better than the heroin girl.
It is true. Let's do one more of a break.
We're going to go to 8-5 here.
Excellent.
Paris Hilton's drunk driving arrest was on everybody's mind at the Mothers Against Drunk Driving National Conference in Anaheim, California, yesterday.
That's inconvenient timing.
The MADD spokeswoman, Miss America 2006, Jennifer Berry says, it's a serious matter when a high-profile celebrity is accused of driving under the influence of alcohol.
Paris was said to have had one margarita, but actually that is about 2 standard drinks of alcohol. The fact is she did not take responsibility for the amount of alcohol consumed.
In your face!
That's right, and Berry adds, MADD conference attendees hope Hilton's arrest will serve as a lesson to others.
Now, do we have another Paris story in that pile somewhere? Because there was some story she called, what's his name, Seacrest out. She called that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was claiming that she wasn't arrested or wasn't charged. She claimed, we'll talk to Roop about that actually later. Roop's going to be on at 1. We should talk to him about that because Paris Hilton called Kiss FM in L.A. this morning. And she was claiming...
Well, that girl also has said that she's only slept with 3 men.
I'm not saying it's a convincing lie. But I'm saying... That's just stupid because, it's not like saying, as Eddie Izzard would say, it's not like saying you shagged someone when you haven't. That's a thing that, you know, it's just, it's a push. It's a, he said, she said. If Paris Hilton said she wasn't charged with drunk driving, which it seems like that's just a matter of public record that she's, lying about that. So,
well, I heard...
like your Baghdad Bob guy.
Totally. There are no tanks in Baghdad. You know, and he's saying this from inside a cell.
I heard she was at 0.8, which is the actual legal limit, and that they did not charge her, but the...
Now, is it the limit? Now, is it 0.8 and over, or 0.08 and over? That's illegal?
That's a great question, but I'm going to assume it's 0.08 and under, then it's questionable whether or not you get charged.
I don't think there's any question. Well, see, but I think you're wrong about that. I don't think that there is a gray area in terms of whether you're drunk driving. The question is it up to and including 0.08 that's legal, or is it... I can't believe we care this much about Paris Hilton's drunk driving arrest, except I just so badly want to see her sent to jail so I can read about her being turned out somewhere for a carton of cigarettes. That's it. That's really it. I just care about the end of the road here, where she's beaten in a shower, Oz style. That's all I care about. I'm not going to... This is more of that lack of sympathy. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I don't care about... in this context, I don't care about drunk driving safety. I don't care about its effect on society. I want to see Paris Hilton beaten on a chain gang. That's it.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but a boy can dream. You leave me my dreams, Sarah.
Did we get her on the show? So
and by the way, Scotty, that was a very well-done news story just now. See?
Well, thank you.
So I'm saying, not trying to criticize you. I'm helping you. It's your first time. I'm trying to help you hone in. It's all about
fewest possible, you know, get that story out in the fewest possible sentences.
Okay.
Sort of the opposite of what I do. Let's break here. We'll come back with Gary Baumgarten. Just seeing on radio. Later on, Jim Roop is going to join us. We've got, what else? Scott Daly is going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. Oh, it's right to that kid, Tim, the kid who wants to be in radio. He's going to be in later on as well. Also, more from Dan DeRose, currently from nowhere. Formerly of Coin. I got to quit saying that. We'll find out. Oh, and I got another email about Jenny, the new traffic girl. We'll see if we can get her on next week. 503-733. We'll all get drunk beforehand. 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Faster Pussycat. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We're here with Sarah Dillon, Scotty J, and for Tim Riley, who's at home waiting for a dishwasher.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim. How you doing? Screening call today is Dan DeRose, formerly of Coin Television, now of a small airless room. Let's see, we have Gary Baumgarten come up here in just one moment. Rick. Scotty doesn't really appreciate your stories, says this email. He's just kissing your ass. Let's see, Lenny says, in Oregon, 0.08 is legal. In California, though, 0.08 is apparently over the legal limit. All right, well, we'll ask Rube about it. He'll figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you. No pause. That's fine.
Are you clapping for yourself?
Well, I do that.
Who knows? You might have a posse. there you go. There you go. Thank you. No, you might have collected an entourage at this point.
Yeah, an entourage of one.
You know what, my friend? It's you know, you want everyone. Every journey begins with a single step.
That's true.
All right. And I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this earlier, and I was saying that on Monday, which is, of course, the fifth anniversary of 9/11, and we will not on Monday be dwelling a whole lot on it. Obviously, we're not going to pretend it's not there, but also we're not going to spend the entire day on it, I think, because people kind of get enough of that sort of everywhere else they go. But there has been, and especially because I'm like all guys in the media, even though I know that I really shouldn't, I read the Drudge Report constantly, even though I know that it is a rather subjective and one might say slanted version of the news from time to time, but Drudge has been all over this thing of this 9/11 movie,
right?
And now is this a dumb question? This because it's ABC and they're making this movie about 9/11. This movie is this airing on Monday? When is this movie even supposed to air?
It's a two-part miniseries that will air Sunday and Monday.
I mean, familiar ground to us because we went through this and we were talking about that Oliver Stone movie, which sort of came and went.
Right.
It doesn't really seem like anybody I know is clamoring for another movie about 9/11, much less one that's two parts. I mean, and I hate to sound like I'm dismissing it with a glib phrase, but it really is a gigantic buzzkill, it seems to me.
Well, also, it's very controversial because I guess some members of the former Clinton administration, because the film is not just about what happened on that day, but it's called The Path to 9/11. So it looks at what led up to that fateful day. So, of course, it looks at what happened during his watch in the White House. They claim that it is terribly inaccurate.
Didn't Madeleine Albright actually say that it was slanderous?
I believe she did.
Yeah, and so, I mean, because this is, because the general sort of thrust of the film, as I have read, is that it says that Clinton essentially did a whole lot of nothing about the growing terror threat. Now, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But Clinton and his folks, as is to be expected, are saying that it's not true and that the movie takes terrible liberties and da-da-da-da. And, I mean, is there any way, have you seen the film?
No,
you know much about it?
The full movie, and in fact, ABC is recutting it right now. They say they're still editing it, and they say that it's unfair to be criticizing a film that is not completed, but it's quite obvious that they are scrambling to meet some of the criticism that they're getting for certain aspects of the movie. And in fact, they were calling it a documentary at one point, and now they've taken pains to say that it is not a documentary, it's a recreation. And four times during the showing of the film, they're going to put disclaimers up on the screen so they have, to indicate that it is not a documentary.
So the movie's actually supposed to it's supposed to be on the air in like 48 hours, and they're now editing it, and they will probably deny this, but this is obviously because they're rattled by all of this criticism, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Nothing screams journalistic integrity like drastically editing your story at the last moment because some guy with a television camera says that you ought to.
Well, in fairness, this has nothing to do with journalistic integrity. This is
ABC.
Entertainment. It's not ABC News that's putting this on.
I suppose. But this is reminiscent of that Reagan's movie. Remember, wasn't it CBS actually that did that? When they were supposed to air that movie called Reagan. And it was like 2 years ago, and I'm pretty sure that it was CBS now that I think about it. And that there was a bunch of criticism, and I think CBS ended up not even showing it. They like dumped it off to Showtime or some place where it was never going to be seen by anybody.
Yeah, this isn't like Passion of the Christ, which is written about people who are long dead. Although it affects potentially people who are alive today in terms of perceptions of groups of people. And how many different Passion plays and films have there been, and how have they each depicted the events differently? This is something that happened a mere 5 years ago. This is something that's fresh in the minds of people. This is something that is apparently critical of people who are still alive, and it's fine to be critical of people who are still alive. But initially, they were kind of claiming that the film was based on the 9/11 Commission report. Now they're saying that they have gotten some of the information out of the 9/11 Commission report, but not all of it. A lot of it is a recreation of what they believe occurred.
So, a lot of it just came out of some news group they found on the net one night while looking for Star Trek porn.
Well, you know what? That's as good a source as any these days. I mean, have you been on the internet reading about the 9/11? There are some, you know, it's almost as many people writing equal the number of conspiracy theories, many of which contradict one another.
No, it's true. All right. Well, you know, I'm just going to make the decision right now to, let's see, never watch it. So
I figured that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, so job done. My whole life is set. I feel as though a great weight has been lifted off me now. All right, Gary. Well, we will undoubtedly talk to you a little bit on Monday. So
I presume we will be talking on Monday.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend. And
thank you.
Have a bagel for me, my friend.
I will.
All right, there you go. Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen, live in New York City. All right, it's 503-733-2970. And I should say that right now, about I can't speak for Stephanie Miller, who I know is going to be back on Monday. She's gone. Elaine Boozler is in this week. I don't know what Stephanie Miller's deal is. I can't, or Tom Likas, or, and I don't, I think Don and Mike are on vacation next week. But, you know, we'll talk, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about it, and Jim Roop and Gary Baumgarten, whatever, on Monday about this. But we're just not going to dwell a lot, because it's just one of those things that you're going to get, you know, because it's going to get forced on you. You know what it is? The thing about 9/11, and again, I don't mean to sound like we don't care or like we're making light of it or like it doesn't matter or whatever. Obviously, it does. But here's the thing about 9/11 remembrances and ponderances and arguments and all of that crap on Monday is it's like smoke in a club. Even if you're not smoking, you're going to go home and you're going to stink of it regardless. And you know what? It doesn't matter. By the end of Monday, you are going to be up to your eyeballs and you are going to be covered with all kinds of talk about 9/11, whether you want to hear it or not. And most of it is going to be just crap that you don't need to have put back in your brain because you've already got enough of it there as it is. So we're not going to dwell on it on Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, let's dwell on Scotty J for a while, who's filling in for Tim Riley, who's at home waiting for a dishwasher.
Thank you, Rick. A woman.
That was great. Let me ask you this, Scotty.
We're off in the other room, right? I'm in the newsroom now.
How many of your mannerisms are your own? How many of your mannerisms in this news are you? In other words, are you emulating a specific news person or style of news that you've seen done? We all kind of rip people off.
I'm still reaching inside myself to find that news guy deep within.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
Reaching deep. I'm probing deep within myself.
Speaking
Rick.
Of probing, we do have a probing story here. But a woman shopping for a new pet pounds officers. This happens in Louisiana.
Is pounds officers a pun?
It is.
Kind okay. Of. All right.
Tammy McCarty was in the market for a new pet, asking for a dog when she was arrested at a local animal shelter. She punched officers when they told her she'd have to pay for the dog.
Okay.
A Monroe police officer said pay for the adoption fees. She punched him in the face and the head and then ran out the shelter. As the police were yelling at her and telling her to stop, they tried to handcuff her. She punched the police in the ribs, and then she was tased twice, pulled the tasers off her body, and then grabbed the deputy and punched him one last time after pulling the tasers off herself.
Now, to the tasers, I've never been tased, although we have. I have this, I have a letter here somewhere. I'll get to it. I don't know. We'll read it next week. I have this email from this guy who wants to come on the show and be pepper sprayed. And he claims that his brother will, I'm not making it up. It's, well, hold on, where is it? Now I gotta find it. It's right here. He's like, Rick, my brother, my brother and I desperately want to come on the show. This is one of those, sometimes people will do anything to get on the radio. He wants to be pepper sprayed and his brother wants to be tased. And I email back and I'm like, leave me alone. What are you talking about? They did hi, you know? And he's like, no, we're dead. He emailed right back and said, we're absolutely serious. Like, I will let you pepper spray me and I'll let you tase my brother. I don't know if the brother knows about that yet. But the thing about those tasers is, as I understand it, they sort of jab into your skin and stay there. So that's, like, you're pulling out those tasers. See, this, and if I can deviate for a moment, this is the thing. This taser story, because what? She got tased, and then she pulled the tasers out?
Right.
Here's what I think about lately with this Steve Irwin story, because this is kind of the last day we can talk about it, because it's just, hey, it happened almost a week ago. But even last night, though, I was watching the news last night, and they were just, you know, it's been 4 days since Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, was tragically killed, blah, 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 blah. And by the way, have you noticed this? That there is still no word on whether they destroyed the footage or not. There's no word. Nobody said that the footage still exists, but nobody said they destroyed it. And you figure that would be the story. You figure if they were going to get rid of the footage, if they would have done it by now. That's how you know, incidentally, that they're eventually going to show it. Because, as Chris Neathan from Oregon Live pointed out, that if they were going to destroy the crocodile, you know, the Steve Irwin, the stingray footage, they would have done it, like, instantly. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? It's like, have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten, like, some spam or something in your inbox, and you look at it, and it's like something, like, you get some porn spam or whatever, and it's like, you know, nude busty Asians. You're like, no. And like, it's at work, and you just delete, you get purge, you know, you just, and it's as soon as you see it, you know, you don't want that in your inbox. You get rid of it. So it is with the Steve Irwin footage. Like, if they were going to get rid of it, they would have done it instantly. With that, it wouldn't have even been a question. But the fact that they even sort of pondered and delayed and sort of prevaricating about it, that lets you know that they're going to keep it. So,
and they're going to play it.
Totally. But
we're going to watch it.
But here's, I will absolutely watch it. And I could sit here and pretend that I'm above all of that, but I'm in no way are we above
but
that.
But you know what? I don't even think it's being above it, because what he said is that he wants people to understand that they are dangerous animals, and he wants, you know, he wanted people to see that experience.
It is a life lesson. Mm-hmm. Well, because again, he took, as much as he was sort of jolly, it seems like he did take nature pretty seriously and whatnot. And plus, I've seen all kinds of stuff that I knew I didn't want to see. You know what I mean? Especially
like that
the
giant
internet.
Slug. Was it a giant snake or...
Oh, no, you're talking about the centipede eating the mouse?
Yes.
And where the mouse is all... Ah! Yeah, that's creepy.
Like things you wish you could unsee.
We could do a whole hour.
Oh, the guy with the head?
We could
I was going to say that.
We could do a whole hour of things you wish you could unsee.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it's almost so horrible that we probably couldn't air most of them. All I'm going to say is...
And then
is,
all it would be is us mouthing things back and forth to each other.
All it would just be us holding up pictures and going, remember this? But there is that video of that giant centipede eating a mouse, which is among the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I actually, if there was a way to do it and verify that it could be done, I actually wanted to do a contest where we gave stuff away to people, but they had to sit and watch horrific YouTube clips all the way through. They couldn't avert their eyes. But there's no way to really tell if that's happening. But it's like, you know, it's like the Paris Hilton sex video. It's like, and not that that's horrifying, but it's like, I don't really care.
It wasn't horrifying, it was just boring.
Yeah, personally, that would be better than watching Steve Irwin's situation, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen Paris Hilton's sex video?
It's just, no.
Yes, I have.
Does she answer her cell phone?
She answers her cell phone, and she's just, like, laying there.
Yeah.
In a horrible green light. Talking in her baby voice. That's so
the baby voice,
awful.
And the baby voice is not sexy at all. Not from her, anyway. Not from that girl. But the thing about the Steve Irwin footage is this. What I wonder about, because, and you remember how we were talking last week about there was that 9/11 story that came out about how they'd found one of the hijackers' passport, and then, like, that story vanished, and you never saw it again? My thing is, and like with Jessica Lynch, how in Iraq, how she supposedly took down a bunch of the Iraqi attackers, and then they revised it later, and that turned out to be crap and propaganda. Do you know how in this Steve Irwin story, And they may already be denying this. I don't know. But remember how we heard that, like, he pulled the stingray mm-hmm. thing out? Here's the thing is, I'm betting the footage doesn't show that. I'm betting the footage shows a whole lot of him flailing and whimpering like a little girl, as you would do if you're dying.
Yeah, and at the time, they were probably trying to, as they were filming it, they were probably trying to figure out what the heck is happening. I mean,
right.
It just was so fast.
Well, because you can't have, because have you seen the thing? Have you seen a depiction of the thing he got stabbed with?
Yes.
It's like a big, spiky, bony, pointy thing with a bunch of backward, slanting spikes. Have you seen it?
No, I don't
Here, let me
it.
Draw it for you. I'm not going to show it to you, but I will draw it for you.
Fine.
No, it is sort of like, it's like a metal Christmas tree.
Well, I've seen a dead stingray before, but I didn't see any barbs on its tail.
It's like,
Is it just certain types of stingrays that...
So this is the...
That's unpleasant.
So there's the body, and it's like, that's the tail. And so it's a bunch of backward slanting spikes. Now, here's my thing about it is, if that gets... And it was big, too. It was like 8 inches long or 10 inches long. If that gets stuck in your heart... I'm saying, for me, there's no way you can pull
you
that out.
You can't yank that out.
If only because, I mean, it's just, like you
can... Even with an arrow, you have to push it through. You can't pull it out.
This is so horrible. Well, it's like, has anybody... it's still the lunch hour, but I don't care. Well, you probably haven't, Sarah, but Scott, have you ever put a fish hook through your finger?
Yes.
I did that when I was a kid, when I was like
hard
5.
Hard to get out.
Totally. Well, because the deal about a fish hook is, people don't remember, but a fish hook is like a J shape, but the very tip of the J has a backward slanting little jag on it. So
how do
that,
you get it out?
So it's, you know, so if a fish swallows it, which, by the way, not to sound like a big sissy, is why I kind of stopped fishing when I got older, because it sounds dumb, but you know what? After I got a fish hook stuck in my finger, I don't think I ever fished seriously after that again, because it freaked me out, because, you know, because fish feel pain, and it just weirded me out. It made me feel really weird, and I make me sound like a big sissy or whatever, but goddamn, I just, because that hurt like a bastard. It hurt like you wouldn't even imagine.
Do you eat fish, though?
I do, you know, and so I'm the big, you know, hypocrite that Ted Nugent makes fun of, where I, you know, I don't hunt either. My dad took me hunting once, and that was enough. He took me hunting once, and I was like, screw this, no way. I have a whole thing about that, you know, which I will not get into at this point. I do draw a distinction between eating meat, though, and enjoying hunting. I think they're real.
Right.
I think there is a difference. As I always say, you know what? Everybody knows you need to get your dog neutered. But if you found a guy who just sat around and cut the testicles off of dogs in his basement because he enjoyed it, you'd have that guy put in a hole somewhere. So just because something is necessary doesn't mean that you really ought to enjoy doing it. Anywho, but I got the fish hook put right through my my finger, and like the thing is, you can't pull it out. You have to clip off that end and then pull it back out. You have to clip off the jag part. So I can't. Like there's no way that you would be, especially in your heart. I mean, hello.
Okay.
There's no way you'd be able to pull it out, and so I'm betting that's why they haven't put it out yet, because they released this story that he was like, he bravely took out the stingray's attacking thing or whatever, and I think it was probably a whole lot of just like twitching and then dying.
It could have been the final adrenaline piece too, like, oh no, you know, he's underwater, he's trying to breathe or whatever, and
ugh.
You know,
who knows? That's all horrible. All right. Next up, Scotty J.
Time now for a penis watch.
Here's your... There you go.
My enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
A former handyman in Rhode Island has won more than $400,000 in a lawsuit over a faulty penile implant that gave him... a 10-year erection.
10 years.
Apparently so. And
don't insert any puns.
Yes, I'm...
Just don't.
Charles Chick Lennon, 68, received a steel and plastic implant approximately 2 years before Viagra went on the market. The Dura 2 is designed to allow impotent men to position the penis upward and then lower it when they're through.
Okay.
That's your penis watch.
Well, no, way to trim it down, Scotty.
Thank you.
He took your advice.
Thank you. Well done, sir.
Take a look at my enormous penis.
That really was great. And you know what? That's been the funniest moment so far. That was actually really Tim-like just there, too. And, well, we're done. You know, or, like, sometimes Tim will be reading a story. I'm talking about like he's dead. Sometimes I remember when Tim would read a story. And, no, I'll look over and I'll say, and he'll go, what are you looking at me for? I'm done. That's there you go. See, humor is sometimes in the bluntness. Let's see. Rick, you may have already mentioned this. Oh, this is a question about the, this is a question for Dandros. Rick, you may have already mentioned this, and I just missed it, but what happened to Katie Baker? I checked out the show on Tuesday for the first time since Sarah left and was surprised to see Katie gone. Well, we'll find out more. We'll have Dan back in here in a while. Here's Scotty J in for Tim Riley.
Well, I know exactly what you're going to say when I say this, but let's run on over to Miami. Why don't we?
Oh, but see, that's not what you were. That's not what you were hoping for,
it
was it, Scotty J?
I don't have the Miami Thunder. You were a little quicker on the draw there. Chief.
Perhaps when I finish the story,
Miami.
You can do
me. Miami. You actually sort of recoiled with actual revulsion on your face.
My head feel like I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
Miami International Airport employees are the first in the nation to receive behavior recognition training to spot suspicious travelers. About 85,000 passengers come through the Miami International Airport every day, and it's impossible to for them to...
They come through where?
Through the...
Miami.
It's hard to adequately size up possible suspicious travelers. Rafi Ron, who is an Israeli expert, they are teaching MIA civilian employees the behavior pattern recognition.
MIA?
Right, that stands for the Miami.
Miami. You watch right into that. Thank you.
Nice.
Okay.
They're the first airport in the nation to receive the training, which identifies suspicious behavior that could lead to preventing terrorist activity. Terrorists find a way to overcome technology, and without the human factor, we might be giving away something that could be the only thing between us and the success of the terrorists.
Miami.
Stop.
All right, Scotty J.
Time now for a Cannibal Watch.
Here's your Cannibal Watch for Friday, the Rick Emerson Show.
A carve-up killer grandmother seeks mercy. A New South Wales grandmother who skinned
a... You get a lot of excess saliva in your mouth when you talk sometimes.
I do. Well, it's too much...
You might be a little too close to the mic.
Too close to the mic.
Why don't you, as they say, back off the microphone just a bit?
Back off, pump it.
I don't know how low
it is. Okay, great. A New South Wales grandmother who skinned and cooked her de facto husband will plead...
Oh. Skinned and cooked.
...with a court to overturn her life sentence because she's a woman.
Was that your quip, or was that in the...
No, that's in there. It actually says that.
That was his emphasis, though. All right.
Amateur worker Catherine Knight, who liked to wear feminine Laura Ashley clothes, and is known in jail for her demure behavior, is the only woman in Australia jailed for the term of her natural life. The mother of four pleaded guilty to murder after Mr. Price's body was found on the floor of his Aberdeen home in the Hunter Valley. A Knight worked as a slicer and packed at Aberdeen Abattoir. Her lover had been carefully skinned and his skin...
Carefully skinned. And that's how you want to do it. You don't want to damage that.
Her skin was, or his skin was hung on a meat hook in a doorway at the house.
Oh!
The story not
Imagine
only...
That's like having to walk through a beaded curtain, except it drips.
And the story... Come on, that's funny. It was funny. The story gets worse.
Patronize me, Scotty J.
Well, his decapitated head was found in a pot on the stove.
Why is it always in a pot on the stove? Seriously, it's always found simmering in a saucepan
Probably
on the stove.
People have seen a lot of movies or something.
No, they're just maybe they're just lazy. No one ever heard of a microwave.
Why would you skin the rest of the body and then stick a head in a pot?
Well, never mind. Seriously, I know the answer, but it's, you know, you can just Google that.
I'll let you
just look that up.
Well, the table was carefully laid out for dinner with name cards for Mr. Price's three children.
That's a whole lot of we're having daddy for dinner.
Yeah, parts of his buttocks were cooked and served up with vegetables and gravy on dinner plates.
What kind of wine goes best with daddy's buttocks?
So I'm not really sure how much further you want to know about this, but...
Keep reading. I'll tell you when to stop. Really, I just wonder, is that sort of like a snap greens kind of a side dish there, or maybe something salty?
Not sure. The savage attack with the butcher's knife was triggered by Mr. Price taking out an apprehended violence order against Knight the week before. And there you go.
So she used to beat him up. He complained, and then her response is to cook his buttocks and serve them to his children.
A nice glass of red.
Well, apparently the couple made love.
Garlic butter.
This is where it really gets weird. The couple.
Oh, this is where it gets weird. Not the head and the saucepan and the buttocks on the table.
Right, but the couple made love, and he fell asleep, and that's when the murder took place.
Okay.
There's your cannibal one.
Thank you. We secretly replaced dinner with Daddy's buttocks. Okay. Well, let's break, kids. We'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. More from Scotty J. And for Tim Riley, who is at home waiting for a dishwasher. Dan DeRose, formerly of Coin News, will be here. And we've got Tim, the mere slip of a youth who wants to get into the exciting world of radio. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this with Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio.